may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. We certainly thank God for you this morning. A do-over.
A do-over.
A do-over. Acts chapter number 19. A do-over. This morning, I want to speak with you in regards to someone. Someone who is, or at least should be, very near and dear to us all. This person is often overlooked, but yet he watches over us. He very seldom takes credit for anything, but yet he comforts us. And even when we find ourselves lost in life, he guides us.
Yes.
Life changing, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Holy Ghost. Now, when we hear the word or the phrase Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, quite often our minds shift to the Pentecostal church, or our minds shift to those people that are fanatic folk. We very seldom think, I think, about ourselves when we hear of the word Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is not a thing. It's not an it. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is a person. The third part of the Trinity. The Trinity being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So when we're baptizing this morning, we baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so when you baptize someone because they receive the grace of God, and we're all saved by grace, so they come to God. And so once they come to God, it is through the grace of God that they receive salvation, but it's not through the grace of God that you receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I know sometimes we hear Holy Ghost and we hear Holy Spirit. There's a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost generally refers to the person. The person. The person, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit generally refers to the manifestation of the person. In other words, the Holy Ghost refers to the person. The Holy Spirit refers to the action of the person. Do you get that?
Yes.
Very important. So what we understand is that we always talk about greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so when you're baptized, we baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost. That is for Jesus Christ to come into your life and to set upon you, to give you covering. In order for you to then do what the Holy Ghost has empowered you to do, you need the Holy Spirit to go forward, because the Holy Spirit is the power where the Holy Ghost is the person. You get that? And so yes, we want God to come in through Jesus Christ so that he can rule our life, the person, but what good is it to have Jesus in your life when you don't have the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit? That's why he said, when I ascend, he says, I'll send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that will come down on the earth, and so you will have the power to do what God has not enabled us to do. See, I said it before, and I said again, the problem with Jesus on earth is that until Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit never descended. Jesus Christ can only be in one place at one time. But when they made a mistake and crucified him on the old rugged cross, when he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. I don't need for you to pray for me. I can pray for myself, because the Holy Spirit abounds. I said, the Holy Spirit abounds. The Holy Spirit is your power. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. The Holy Spirit is your guide. It's the Holy Spirit that stood with you when you buried your loved one. It is the Holy Spirit that says to Grace, keep that car on that side. It's the Holy Spirit that allows you to go through life. It is the Holy Spirit that stopped you from cursing them out. Paul had went and he had established some churches along with the other disciples. Now, you're going to have to excuse me, but I think it's so important, since we're talking about the Holy Ghost, that we understand the flow of the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Now, understand this, that Paul meets certain disciples.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the disciples that he meets are some young guys who just came into ministry, just became a disciple. Now, a disciple is a person that is in training. Which means that you haven't made it yet. You're still in training. You understand that? And so what Paul is saying is that I laid eyes on Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. The other disciples laid eyes on Jesus when Jesus was alive. And so when Jesus ascended to heaven, the 11 disciples, minus Judas, the 11 disciples then became apostles. An apostle is a person that goes far east, far west, and establish churches because they've laid eyes on Jesus Christ. If someone tells you in 2013 that they are an apostle, they lying to you, because none of us have seen Jesus Christ. Are you with me? You may flow in an apostolic anointing, but you're not an apostle. Okay? Apostolic anointing is to continue on what the original 12 has started.
Uh-huh.
Now, God says to you and I, the Great Commission, that we are to go ye therefore and teach all nations. So we all have that responsibility to flow that way, to do what we can to build and establish the kingdom of God. And so here comes Paul. He goes up on the north side, comes down through Ephesus, and when he does, he meets disciples.
All right.
He meets the disciples, and he's there because he heard about the disciples, heard about the work that they were doing, but they were not getting any breakthroughs. Without the Holy Spirit, you can get no breakthrough. Now watch this. Satan sometimes will put you in a position where you feel like you're being blessed. Because your sugar daddy gives you money. That's not a blessing. I know what I just said. Because your sugar mama take care of you on the side. That's not a blessing. So sometimes Satan will do something to you to distract you from having a desire to come to God. So he'll give you this little substitute on the side, but you better seek God for the real deal. How many of you know ain't nothing like the real deal? Ain't nothing like the real stuff. Ain't nothing like a real blessing. You want to give me something on the side? I don't want your side stuff. I want my own. I want a blessing with my name on it. I want it just for me. Paul slides into Ephesus. When he slides into the Ephesus, he finds disciples that are talking about in the name of Jesus, but don't understand in the name of Jesus. You can say whatever you want to say, and Satan is not afraid of what you say sometimes. You can sit there and you can quote as many scriptures as you like, and if you don't know how to plow, and there's no power behind it, and they want to give you a scripture for this and a scripture for that. Baby, all I need is a hug right now. Give me a scripture, baby. All I need is to know that you've been in care. I need a scripture. My bills are past due. You want to be a blessing to me? Make this bill right here. So he runs across these disciples, and when he runs across these disciples, he asks them the questions. He says, in essence, you know, I heard about you guys, you know, Apollos, and Apollos was doing a wonderful job in teaching the gospel. See, in chapter 18, he has just hooked up with Priscilla, and he had done a wonderful job in terms of them teaching him the gospel. Somebody can teach you the gospel, but only God can empower you. You can't give that. You hear churches today stand in line and I'm going to teach you how to speak in tongues. And I'm going to, no, baby, you can't teach me a gift. How you going to teach me how to speak in tongues? And if you can teach me how to do it, I don't want to do it. There's some things I just want to fall down on business. secret closet. I believe when times are going bad and hell is against you, if you find yourself in a secret closet, I believe that the God that we serve, He's a breakthrough God. He's a breakout God. He's a delivering God. He's an on-time God. He's my prayer jumper cover one. I just refuse to believe anything else other than that about the God that I serve. So he asked the disciples. He says, okay, well, here you are, apology, you teaching about Jesus. He says, now were you baptized? Yes, I was baptized. Now, when you were baptized how? Well, I was baptized according to John's baptism. Remember, John came before Jesus. John came before Jesus because John was carrying his anointing, was the anointing of repentance. That is, you need to change and go in a different direction. And I thank God for John because the Bible declares there's no man greater than John. I thank God for John, but I thank God for the Jesus that came after John. He says, I'm not teaching or baptizing on repentance. I'm baptizing because it's the grace of God. Saying on your best day, you still can repent and earn salvation. So Jesus stretched forth on an old rugged cross so that he can make salvation available to us.
Yes.
But what good is salvation that gets you to heaven when you're living in hell on earth? Want to serve a God that I'll only know who He is when I get to heaven? Because the truth of the matter is, I'm with Him. Do I really need Him then? I need Him now. Yeah. I need Him. I need Him right now. On Monday morning when hell break loose, I need Him then. On Tuesday when the doctor say cancer is here, I need Him there. On Wednesday when the car break down, I need Him there. On Thursday when the relationship is on the rock, I need Him there. On Friday when the church doors is closed, on Saturday when I'm facing temptation, I need the power. I need you. So he says, yeah, you were baptized. You were baptized in John's baptism, the baptism of repentance. He says, but there's one that comes after John. That one is Jesus Christ. He says, I came to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so in essence, what he was saying to him is that you saved, but you don't have any power.
My God.
Don't you hate to see someone who's always telling you how to live right, how to go through something, and the moment a little struggle started in their life, they stopped coming to church. They come out, I don't know if the God stuff really worked. Then all of a sudden, they've been telling you all that good stuff, and the little test come in their life, and now you see what a pump they was in the body of Christ. But God don't need no pump in the body of Christ. God needs some prayer water. God needs some pump that will kill the giants. He needs somebody that will run up against something. And you may not know how you're going to knock that devil out, but you know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So I can baptize you. I want to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, you've been in the water, but the water did not give you the power. You can jump in the water, throw some soap in the water, and you're still not clean. I'm glad God knows how to clean up. I'm glad God can look at our blackest sin and put that white grace against it, and we come out whiter than snow. I'm glad God knows how to fix me. I'm glad I'm never too far from Him that He can't reach down and say, boy, I know exactly what you need. Get on up. I know a good man fall down, but get up time after time again. Keep getting up. I came to encourage someone this morning. Where you are is not where you're supposed to stay. That's not your house. That's temporary. I know you're going through something this morning. I know you're in a mess this morning. I know you don't know how you're going to make it. And that's exactly where God wants you to be. When life puts you on your back, and it leaves you looking to the hill, which cometh.
Yeah.
my help. I thank you for what you did, but all of my help comes from the Lord. And so I owe him a praise. If you help me, I got to praise you. But if I seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, I owe him the praise. The Bible declares that God is a jealous God. He'll share it with no one. And that's all right with me, because I know who woke me up this morning. I know who gave me traveling grace. I know who's the banker for me when the bills are due. I know when the doctor says cancer is there, the one that says by my stripes you're healed. I know who supplies all of my needs. Do you know the God that you serve? Do you really know him? I'm not talking about what you heard about him. Do you know him? Have you ever walked with the Lord? In the coolness of the night, have you ever walked with the Lord? A still voice whispered in your ear and says, don't do that, but do this. And somehow, the this makes sense at the end. Won't God open doors for you? Have you ever tried the Lord? God will open doors for you. So he says, listen, I came to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so he baptized them. And notice the second time. I think this is just so unique. The first time they were baptized, they went in the water, and John took them down in the water. They baptized John in the water. And the second time, there was no water. You remember when the thief was on the cross?
Yeah.
And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. I'm glad. I thank God for baptism, and I believe in baptism. I believe it's a public expression of how you feel. But I'm glad I don't have to be baptized to be saved. You don't hear me because you've never been in a car accident and you just had to whisper a prayer because you didn't know whether or not you were going to die. You don't feel me. You don't feel me because you've never been in a hospital laying out and you couldn't come out the hospital, come back in the church and get in the water. You don't feel me. But if you ever found yourself in a situation where you need to confess God right then, get baptized, my downs, my ins, my outs, and that's all right with him. Sin may abound in me, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're coming out of that mess you in. You're coming out of that hellhole. You got to push your way through. Just keep on praying. Something is going to happen. Keep on praying.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Apollo says, now what are you talking about, Paul? And Paul says, listen, I'm not going to take you to the water. He says, I'm simply going to lay hands on you. You see that? Now, when he laid hands on them, now, I know we confused about television. Because the $1,000 line right here. And the $500 line right here. And the $100 line right here. And give me a $20 line up here. And all the rest of y'all just come on later. I'm glad God says about the later that you should be first. See, what Paul was saying is you came by this thing. So he was saying, now I know that I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the same Jesus that touched me, he empowered me to touch you. So the laying on of hand is a transferring of the anointing. You can't pay for that stuff right there. It comes free. He says, now, when I lay hands on you, he says, all of a sudden they begin to speak in tongues. Now, tongues is not that you've elevated or that you've grown in ministry. Simply means that that's your prayer language. It's not impressive at all. It's just a prayer language. The same English that you know, it's the same way the Holy Spirit interprets your prayer language. By the way, it's not you talking, so don't get no credit for it. Don't think you talk real good in tongues. It ain't you. If you know what you're saying in tongues, then we need to watch out for that. So he says, I'm transferring the anointing. And now watch this now. Because when they begin to speak in tongues, tongues is not for the church.
All right.
Doesn't it irritate you every time somebody walk up to you? Oh, check me out. Leave me alone. Really? Then they get good and fall down here. Oh, right. And then a storm comes and they're like, well, I won't be at church on Sunday. Lay hands on yourself. Back to tongues. The tongue is a sign not for the believers,
that's right,
but for the unbelievers.
Yes, sir.
So that they see the God that is operating in you.
Right.
And so they began to speak in tongues, and
yeah,
the Bible says they began to prophesy.
Yeah.
When you begin to prophesy, it's not what you think, what you know. You simply saying what the Holy Spirit is whispering in your ear. And see, when you begin to line up with what God is saying, then he says you no longer praying amiss every time you pray. I'll answer your prayer because you saying back to me what I whispered in your ear and told you to say to me. I told you cancer had no victory over you. Say back to yourself. Lay hands on yourself and say, cancer, come out of here. He says you gotta learn how to have dominion, authority over your stuff. Over your stuff. Now watch this now, because I'm gonna say this to you in closing. And that is this. God sent Jesus on this earth. When Jesus was on this earth, he began to train 12 disciples, 12 men, to carry on the mission. He knew one of them was the devil. There are some people in your life. God knows that they are against you before you see it. But at the same time, the Bible says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I know that you are against me, but guess what? You can't stop me. You can't touch me because I'm walking in this anointing. And God has put a hedge of protection all around me. And because that hedge of protection is around me, it frees me to tell the truth. So help me God. In the beginning was the Word, so help me God. Now that Word was born to a virgin woman. I don't understand it, but so help me God, it happened. It happened just like that. Now the Word who became life, who knew no sin, took on the sins of the world. So help me God, it happened just like that. Now when he took on the sins of the world, he died for our sins, so help me God. He stretched forth, and when right before he died, God says, I can't be with you right there. He said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? So help me God. He said it. And he said, now listen, you can't take my life. He says, I'll give it away. And so he gave up the ghost. So help me God. But on the third day, I don't know, I can't figure it out. On the third day, so help me God, he went back and took his life, and he had all power. So help me God. He had all power in his hands. The power to make you love. The power to make you run on. The power to make you change. The power to give you a breakthrough. So help me God. I don't know how he did it, but he did it all just for me. I don't understand it. But what I just told you, so help me God, it is the truth.
That's right.
Here's closing for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't ask me to explain. But he took our blackened sin. So help me God.
Thank you.
He took our blackened sin. He touched it with his red blood. So help me God. And somehow it came out whiter than snow. So help me God. I don't know. So help me God, I'm telling you the truth. I can't explain it to you. Just so help me God. That's the way it was. And the same person that I'm talking about, he was Alpha and Omega. So help me God. I don't understand how he did it. I don't understand how he was in heaven and he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't even explain in the beginning. God created which means to speak something into existence out of nothing. I don't care if somebody told you you'll never be nothing. Listen to your God this morning. He says, I can speak something in your life. So help me God, he can do it. So help me God. Do I have a witness that God can change your life around? Do I have a witness that you can start off in the pill bottle, on drugs, alcohol, adultery, and he can change your life around? See, God has the power to do that. I don't understand it, but I know that he can do it. And if there's one way in which I can describe my God, it's simply to say, he's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's beyond my little imagination. He's an awesome God. He's beyond my understanding. He's an awesome God. He's beyond my tears. He's an awesome God. He's beyond my comprehension. He's an awesome God. He is an awesome God, and he is worthy to be praised all the time. So give him a big praise this morning, because he is an awesome God this morning. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. Have you ever tried God? Have you ever tried the Lord? Isn't God an awesome God? What he's doing in your life. That's just awesome. How is it that you keep on, keep on, keep on? You know where you are, what you're going through. But he's an awesome God. You see, sometimes people think that you're standing because you're strong. None of that, baby. You know the truth of the matter is, I'm standing because I know how to get on my knees. Not taking you out because you're on your knees. That's why the lies have not taken you out, because you spend time with God on your knees. The power is on the floor. The power is when you submit yourself to God and say, God, I need you. You are an awesome God. You're worthy to be praised. You're my way maker. You're my bridge over troubled water. You make a way out of no way. You're my salvation. You're my grace. You're my everything. You're an awesome God. See, when we understand that he is an awesome God, then we understand that all we have to do is just surrender to the awesome God. Just surrender to him. God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. Has he ever done anything to you? Has he shown himself in your life? Do you know him to be an awesome God? Do you know him to be that way? Do you have a personal relationship with him that you know he's an awesome God? I'm not talking about what somebody said. I'm talking about, I know he's an awesome God, because he brought me out of something, and he delivered you out of something, and he made ways for you out of somewhere, and he gave you time to raise up and down the highway. and he gets surrendered to God.